Okay, the March 5th Town of Coopville Planning Commission meeting is called to order. Could we all please stand for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda that you just received?
Staff has no changes.
Could I have a motion for approval?
Make approval of the agenda's approved.
And a second? Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And could I have a motion to excuse Michelle Cook from the meeting?
I move we excuse Michelle Cook from the meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And we'll take a couple minutes to read the minutes.
With apologies, I just noticed a typo. The last sentence on bottom page 2 should actually append the last paragraph, or the only paragraph on page 3, because otherwise it makes no sense at all.
I did notice that.
And that one's on me.
Okay, maybe that should even go after your statement about scheduled for April 2nd, otherwise
yes,
it doesn't make any, oh,
exactly.
That's what you said.
That will be so moved.
So are there any other comments for corrections or changes?
Well, the approval of minutes, isn't that, shouldn't it be February 5th?
Yes. Actually, it should be, no, that's correct, because these are the minutes from February 19th.
There were two meetings in February.
Yeah, except it says January 5th.
January 5th.
Oh.
January 5th, thank you.
I was looking at the minutes.
Under section 16.10, it says planner adjustment review changes since the, and should they be effective?
No, actually, that was the March 5th, since we had a March 5th meeting, then a March 5th, and then a March 19th meeting.
No.
Wait a second, it is the.
This is the 5th.
This is the 5th, okay.
It's that time warp.
Doing that for.
Correct, thank you.
Now we're going to go back and really read these.
It was probably all correct in what Claudia gave me, and then I fixed it.
Are we seeing any other corrections or additions? And if not, could I have a motion to approve with suggested changes?
I move we approve the suggested changes.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So that moves us on then to the discussion items. Transient accommodation, vacation rental code amendments.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I would like to preface my comments with an apology to the commissioners about when you're receiving materials. It is not meant to be any slight to the commission at all. It really is just a matter of my time, and things just get to the last second. And so I'm endeavoring to improve, but I considered canceling this meeting just to be able to get things out ahead of the next one. But I would also like to keep things moving, and there are a few discussion points that I would like to have with you tonight in preparation for the public hearing at the next meeting. So again, my apologies, but you do have essentially the ordinance that will be at issue, or that will be subject to public comment, and then your deliberation at the April meeting. I've attempted to incorporate all of the changes that the commission has discussed over the last four meetings, I believe. There are a couple things I would like to bring to your attention, just because I can't help myself. I made one other change to the unrelated change to ordinance, or to the definitions in chapter 1604, and this is on page 11. It has been something that has been confusing and irritating me for 3 years now, so I figured let's just change it. Under light industry, it currently reads, light industry means the manufacture and assembly of light and small items made from previously repaired materials. That seems to unnecessarily constrain what we're calling light industrial. I'm not sure what you make from previously repaired materials, or what that even means. So that is one change that hasn't been discussed at all, but I think there's no time like the present to fix it. I then blurred my eyes for anything else in here that may also be causing me pain. The next I want to go to page 27 now. This is the last provision under Bed and Breakfast Inns, 080B. It's number 11. It was discussed, and I've listened to the audio, but I'm not sure if I was told to take it out or leave it in or where that discussion ended. And I guess I can see it two ways. One is sort of as a caution, as something potentially to fall back on in the event that enforcement action was necessary. Again, bed and breakfast facilities are not the kind that I anticipate that are typically a problem anywhere. And I think that it is addressed to some extent. In the licensing. So I don't know if you feel that it hurts or helps to have it in, or any feedback on that.
Well, I don't remember the discussion per se. My feeling is that it's not necessary.
Is that the
number 11
sentence? Sure.
Oh, that was mine.
Is one that I lifted from other codes, but of course we don't need to assume that anyone else knows what they're doing either. So it sort of carries the intent of the code, but again, or of these provisions, but whether it is really necessary is an entirely different question, or is just taking up room in the code. More words are not necessarily better.
It isn't, except, you know, I know there's a scenario, there was a scenario in Langley where there was a bed and breakfast, and they had and it was close to downtown. They had a lot next to them, and it was, they knew the owners of the lot. They did not themselves own the lot, but they knew the owners. And so they hosted a family in their bed and breakfast, and that family decided or asked if they could use that space, you know, for a party. And they put up a tent or whatever. So that got kind of loud. And Langley's got some pretty strict noise codes anyway. But yeah, there was quite a kerfuffle there. So I don't know if we have that kind of scenario here or not. I don't know if it would hurt to leave it in. But, and, you know, I wasn't here for the other discussion, so I'm not sure I should leave my in.
So are you thinking it's that line on page 28 that says for the licensing to ensure compatibility with residential neighborhood context where applicable?
Correct.
That, you think that says about the same thing as the other one?
Be yes. More specific as to which one you're referencing. On page 28, what?
Oh, license. Under bed and breakfast in license C.
Oh, C. I think in a discussion that I may or may not have had with Owen the past couple weeks, and I can't remember, but I came to the conclusion on my own that that we, and I don't know if we discussed this, whether the town council would be giving a generic rental agreement to each new entity coming in to be licensed. That would be the place to get down to the real specifics about behavior and noise control and respect and all of that type of thing. And then not put it in your code. And I look at it more from the standpoint that sometimes you say something you don't intend to say when you aren't actually applying it to a situation. So that's also part of where I'm coming from. I think we're covering it well. In other places in the code, I think the rental agreement will definitely address that.
So in response to your question, which you may have already asked, I don't believe the town will be giving, I think the town can provide examples of rental agreements. But unless we're putting it in the code, I'm not sure we can tell them what they have to have in it. So that's why we have the quiet hours, which was the subject of much discussion, in the in what a rental agreement will include for guest houses. We discussed having certain things that would be required to be put in a rental agreement for a bed and breakfast. And then determined, I believe the consensus was that there really was nothing that we needed to see in a bed and breakfast rental agreement. And so therefore, that section was removed.
I don't know, I kind of like having that explicitly set out in item 11. 27, so that there's no confusion or doubt.
Well, and I think those of you that live here have much, your words have much more impact when it comes to that part. It's not going to bother me. So would we say then the consensus is to leave it?
I would say to leave it, but I have a question. Like you mentioned, I thought I heard you say something about noise.
Quiet hours,
okay.
Right.
Now, the code, if I recall right, it only deals with construction noises. So how would a quiet hour actually be implemented into the residential zone? I mean, we don't even have that in the code yet.
It is correct, and I am reluctant after I've worked with nuisance noise ordinances for decades, and they are remarkably hard to enforce. And typically, the sound you're trying to enforce against is not one of them that happens to be regulated. Now, granted, ours is really, really bad in our in Title 8 or wherever it is in our current code. It is really intended more as a cautionary, as a hortatory sort of a thing in the rental agreement, a reminder that you are in a residential neighborhood. And I think if you want to jump to the rental agreement for the gun house, There are some interesting things in here. They do limit the number of persons who can reside or sleep on the premise, and this is again the owner's decisions. No fireworks. Somewhere it says you are in a residential neighborhood for
room 22.
Number nine.
have no problem with putting that type of verbiage into the agreement between the landlord and who's staying in the particular structure.
Do we regulate that?
No. So what we do have is, if you go to page... Four. Under 5.38.070, about halfway down, A4. So, again, this is, I think, what Commissioner Reyes was referring to. It's not something we can particularly enforce. But what we can say is, if it's in the rental agreement, we're expecting the landlord to enforce. So it puts it back on them. So our whatever nuisance noise ordinance we have doesn't really apply. It is really enforcement by the owner. And if the owner, you know, again, most situations, the owner's going to be responsible. They will rent to people who will also be responsible. But if we have someone who has no community spirit whatsoever and tends to rent to people who create a nuisance and loud noise at night, it does give the town a reason to, if it becomes a problem, to retract the void their license or not renew it.
Well, if we're making that a provision, redundant, but it doesn't necessarily detract in any way from the provision.
I would note that that's under short-term rental, and the provision that we were discussing on page 27 is actually for
bed and breakfast,
right?
So, I guess you made one, you alluded to putting it back on the town if it's in the code, which it's actually going to fall back on the town, whether it's not in the code, if it becomes a major problem. But it seems to me like if it's not in here, this actually empowers the neighbors to be more proactive in making sure the owner understands their feelings about either how the last guest handle themselves while they were there, or whether or not the landlord is making these provisions very well understood to the people that are coming. Again, the more that it stays with the community, that's where you get your community identity. The more the town takes it on, then it just overworks staff and becomes not necessarily reflective of all parts of your town.
And your point is well taken. I think that the counter argument I would make is that a lot of people are conflict averse. If they have an issue with their neighbor, there's a broad spectrum, but there are a lot of people who will just grumble to themselves and won't raise it, won't bring it up. They will call the town and see if the town can do anything about it, and if not, they'll just grumble and be miserable or move. Or I think I've mentioned that there's a property owner north of Parker who spent $1.3 million to purchase the house next door because they were worried that it was going to be a short-term rental. So that's their family stays in it occasionally when they're in town. They evidently have a large petty cash box, but I think there are. It would be nice if people could be civil, could speak directly. The other issue, though, is that with a guest house, the owner may not be local. The owner may not live in the state or the country. They have to have a manager who will provide that contact information. And it could be that a manager is someone rather than the property owner, that a neighbor may feel more comfortable contacting in the event of an issue. But I think the town, if the town is creating the allowance for commercial uses in residential neighborhoods, I think the town has to take some level of responsibility for it. Do you disagree?
I agree.
I agree. I agree with that totally.
The thing I was going to say is that what your, I always mispronounce your last name, Carol. Molter. Anyway, when I heard her say she's going to want to empower the community, we are the representative of the community. If we empower the community right there on site, and I think this goes in line with what Bones was saying, is that if the community stays silent or when they grumble, or they go ahead and say, oh, let's go to the town for some kind of enforcement to stop this activity, the town, the authority then would say, it's not in our ordinance, so we have no authority. Mm-hmm. It's back on them, and now you have a vigilante kind of thing going on. You know what I mean?
Let's avoid that.
Right.
If we weren't talking about something that is governed by state law, or that you didn't have the right to be able to call a policeman, then this would seem a little more critical to me, but...
No, I'm not saying they do have the right to call the authority, but the authority... The police, the fire, building inspector, zoning code enforcer, their enforcement based on the ordinance or the law, and that's it. And if it's not in the books.
Well, okay, so then that brings up the issue that I asked Owen about earlier. Can you put in something into this code for a person that, is it starting to become just a little discriminatory that people in town could actually make noise after 10 o'clock? Or can you not?
Well, currently we could. There's no code enforcement to squash that. It's up to the neighbors at that point to complain.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
But then again, you have disgruntled, with disgruntled neighbors. Now, of course, if you know your neighbors, in this case, we're talking about transient accommodation, and we're also talking about potentially an owner of that property being out of state, out of country, wherever. Right?
What I'm hearing is that it's very important that this be left in the code. So, if anyone disagrees with that, otherwise we could move on.
Move on? Okay, so the next one, and you'll get another version of this that has the lettering and numbering more sequential. Yeah. The next one is is on page 32, section 040, applicability. So this was the subject of easily 20 minutes of discussion at the last meeting. I want to make sure that I have captured it correctly. So we have, before this change, it said that it had to be a single family home, to be eligible for a license for short term rental, had to be a single family home, an accessory dwelling unit, or a residential unit in a mixed use development. Because that is how we currently, well, except for the accessory dwelling units, that's how we currently regulate it. So what I heard was you wanted to open it up to allow other housing types, which may include condominiums, and it may include potentially apartments. So this says approved for habitation, conforming to the zoning regulations, provided, and this is the question, it says, provided that no more than one short-term license will be issued for any one lot, or parcel, not one parcel, any lot or parcel.
Okay, Owen, could you tell me specifically, oh, I see, under applicable, okay.
Then it says, for the last line, for the purpose of this chapter, a condominium unit is determined to constitute a separate lot. So what that means is, so if you have an apartment building, you can't rent 32 units for short-term rental. If you have a condominium multifamily development, each owner would have the right to separately rent their unit, subject to, and again, I put it back in, I'll get to that in a second, subject to the approval of the condominium association. Does this capture what you want? Is it still too restrictive?
I think you did an excellent job of handling the questions that we had about apartment buildings, how that might work.
So if the owner of an apartment building wanted to rent one unit as a vacation rental, they can do that.
Correct.
And that's what you meant. I listened to the audio several times. And that I wasn't sure exactly where we landed on it.
I support that part being written that way. I suspect that there are people who rent apartments who would not see it that way. But again, you don't have, as you've mentioned several times, Coopville does not have that many apartment units. And I think this is addressing the area of greatest concern, which is the residential areas.
Right.
But
allowing for, we have several condominium developments.
Right,
among them are cottage housing, which
right.
if that's not considered a single family home because single family home is one unit on one lot, and that is multiple units on one lot. But it's still, the condominium provision allows them to, if the association is amenable, if the CCNRs allows it, it lets them rent individual units. Again, I think we need that if we're going to allow condominiums to. I think because of the common area issues, we need representation of any ownership that would be, whose land is directly affected by it, which is the condominium association, be party to it.
Okay, but that's a separate statement. Somewhere.
Right, that's under, on the next page, the first number 10, a signed letter from the current authorized officer, from a current authorized officer of the condominium association approving the use of the condominium unit as a short-term rental if the residential unit or the condominium. Everyone okay with all that? Okay, I think those were the only changes. So if you do have concerns, you haven't deliberated yet. Deliberation will occur in April. So if there are things that are nagging you, things you identify between now and then, please make notes, and those can be part of the discussion. The intent is not to have already decided on a, so far, to date, it has been to provide provide input on what the public review draft will look like. And so that is what we have here, but it's not the, it's not, not intended to be what will be ultimately recommended to the council if you have further, further concerns or further changes to it.
I am going to add my one right now, since I won't be here. And it's, it just goes back to the subject that we just discussed, whether or not apartments should be, each person should have something to say about the unit they're renting. So the overall success of this code is going to be dependent upon it being written in such a way that those people out there who are now renting their homes under the whatever it is, that they're going to be willing to come forward and be a part of this process. And again, if we leave out the apartment renters, will we be weakening our, the overall effect of our code? Or that attempt to get everyone to participate in this process openly and pay the fees, et cetera. And I think we will, that we will be. And I guess the way I can justify leaving them out or not addressing that particular segment a little more thoroughly is that it will become apparent, I think, really early on if something is happening there that needs to be handled and it can be included.
It can, and I would...
Included at some future date.
Right. Yeah, amendments, it's just more legislative process. I certainly appreciate what, what you're saying. We do want the greatest adoption, acceptance, participation. But the reason we have, let's say this, the idea of land use regulation in general is that there are certain land uses that are compatible and some that are less compatible. And if you attempt to answer all needs by all people in the code, and this may not be what you're saying, but I think it's important to understand that, that we start with the policy of what we want to see and work toward and figure out what rules are required, are necessary to achieve that. There may be, and sometimes it's just necessary to say that, you know, that there may be a market for a particular type of land use in a particular location, but is it consistent with the policy? Now, when you're talking about multifamily, I'm not sure. I think the only worst case scenario I can see is, and maybe it's not a worst case scenario, is you have a actually going the other way. It's not necessarily that you're filling a multifamily dwelling with or multifamily a development with short-term rental in every unit. The problem is more when you have a when you have a circumstance where you have multiple short-term, multiple dwelling units on a property that may not be organized for multifamily, for instance, in another residential neighborhood, in a single-family neighborhood, where you have an ADU and you have a house and you want to rent them both out at the same time, I think that's where the issues can start to build. Or where the frictions can start to build, where you have the compatibility issues. So if to restrict that, we say one one short-term dwelling per lot, then that is, that tends to be equally applicable, that is equally applicable to a multifamily. And so you're saying, yes, you can do it there, but only one unit can be that short-term rental. Does that make sense? Sort of?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the bottom line is there may be demand, but the because we have rules, we have to tell some people no. And unfortunately, it may be that maybe the tenants of multifamily buildings that get told no because because it's not consistent with the overall policy approach to everything else in the town.
So what I hear you saying then is that if more people would still say under the wire or whatever, under the radar as far as renting, it's not going to weaken your efforts elsewhere.
If we spend all of our time in enforcement, that would drain the town resources. But with the anticipation that demand for this use in multifamily developments will be negligible, I think we're probably reasonably safe that it's not going to have a detrimental effect on the program overall, and it's not going to overtax town resources in enforcement. And part of the reason for what we're doing with the licensing is to make it easier for people that are in a land use situation where they can do it, and to make it easier to identify the people who are trying to slide under the wire. As Ms. Sotelo pointed out last time, education is going to be a really important, a critical element to let people know what they have to do. We, you know, the five of us know it, but, and actually Claudia too, the six of us all know it, and Michelle too, seven of us. And by the time we're done, we'll have the mayor and five council members, but it's the rest of the community we need to reach. Otherwise, the whole thing is a pointless exercise, and we will spend all our time on enforcement. So I think that we have made it reasonably easier, lowered the bar to get into it, and the expectation is that the costs to continue to apply and renew will be sufficiently low that it won't dissuade people. So I believe that the program has a reasonable chance of success. I haven't heard any dire stories from other jurisdictions. I think most people want to follow the rules once they know what they are. And provided the bar is not too high, and I think currently it's too high with our adopted rules for the cost of renting out a bedroom, you know, twice a year. But if we make it $25 and a sheet of paper, I anticipate we'll have a high level of participation in it. All right? Okay, so this is going to be a quick meeting. Does anyone remember back when we were working on the comp plan? And I will say that we'll be bringing back the Shoreline Master Program amendments in short order as well, to get those off all of our lists. So this is just a reminder. So we talked through the land use element goals and policies. These are the existing goals and policies for the housing element. And I think with the exception of Commissioner Warford, I think you've probably all reviewed these, and so that back in September or so, I brought in some information from Island County. Island County has the resources to hire highly paid consultants to do studies and data analyses and recommend goals and policies and programs. We are not quite so well positioned to do that. You have me. But we also looked at the county's studies. We looked at the countywide planning policies. We looked at some goals and policies of other jurisdictions. I guess before proceeding again, I would like to know how you would like to approach this. If you're comfortable with the way we did the land use element, where I brought in a bunch and brought in some draft goals and policies, and they were talked through, and some were kept, and some were rejected, and most were amended. Is that the way you'd like to proceed, or do you want to start at a higher level? Is there more information you'd like? Do you have any concept of how you would like to proceed with this, other than how we've done it in the past? And I will bring back the information that I brought in September, just to refresh it, if that's your preferred approach. But this is going to have your name on it and names on it, and I want to make sure that I am approaching this in the way you'd prefer to, the way you're most comfortable with. Is that too open-ended a question, or?
Are there any comments on that? Andy and Ricardo, particularly since Julie won't be participating in that part of it,
sadly true,
other than what we do tonight. On the process. Well, I guess it's just Ricardo, because Andy wasn't here for even for comparison.
It's difficult for me to say.
Yeah, I think I would like to have to review September's last meeting just to get a
reminder of what it was, what the issues are. And part of it, a big part of it is so as a reminder, so we, of course, do all our planning under the Growth Management Act, which has which specifies what areas that we look at. And there are a number of different elements of the comprehensive plan: land use, housing, transportation, capital facilities, utilities, parks and recreation, forgetting one or two, but that's it. So the specific things we have to look at, and a housing element is supposed to implement the goal 4 of the Growth Management Act, which says encourage the availability of affordable housing to all segments of the population of the state, promote a variety of residential densities and housing types, and encourage preservation of housing stock. So somehow we have to encompass all of that in our goals and policies. It is intended to ensure the vitality and character of established residential neighborhoods. So those are what we need to capture in this. So we have to look at a variety of housing types, housing for all segments of the population, including economic segments. And I think we can start with a fairly clean slate, just given the goals and policies I just handed out, which I don't think accomplish much. They tell the town to do certain things, but they really don't, I don't think they're particularly expressive in terms of what we're trying to accomplish in the next 20 years, and this is a 20-year plan. So the question is, do you feel comfortable discussing ideas at a very high level, figuring out where we want to go, and then focusing down to goals and then policies? Or would you prefer that I give you some goals or some goals and policies to consider, to maybe stimulate your thinking and proceed as we did with the housing element?
I think it's always beneficial to think about what exactly you're trying to accomplish before you start getting into all the details. Because a lot of times you get lost in those details and forget why it was you're doing this in the first place.
And it's very easy to do that. You think, well, yeah, we want to have, you know, multiple kinds of housing. Well, how can we do that? So it's easy to jump to the solution without really embracing the overall overarching idea.
We had quite a discussion, and it was actually just a year ago, and what was that statement called? Not a mission statement,
but the vision statement.
Vision statement, and which would kind of talk to your point. I think we really tried looking at the bigger picture, honing in on a number of details that actually went by the wayside the more we discussed it, because you don't need to, when you're talking about your goals or your vision, you don't need to spell it out there, all of the things that support that vision. So having that as kind of the background, and then knowing what we are supposed to be accomplishing with that little sheet of paper in front of us, then I think it's real helpful to have handouts like this to apply to this as we go forward. I guess my greatest fear in life is that I'm going to get locked in a room with a bunch of people that want to discuss something for the next 10 years. So I like some structure to it. That's where I'm going.
Clearly, and we certainly have to be done with this. So
okay,
we
not
going to
be 10 years.
Correct. We would hear from the Department of Commerce well before then. I'm surprised that we haven't yet. So for our next meeting then, part of it will be sort of the higher level discussion, and we can work from there and try to start at that point. What are the high level things that we are trying to accomplish, and then we can take that and proceed into the derived goals from that, and then see what policies come from it.
Well, and as I think about, I remember Andy wasn't here, but neither was Michelle, and
was
that's
Michelle,
going
yes.
to have to be reviewed.
So we will have to restart it.
So that we can go forward with any semblance of us being on the same page.
Right.
And maybe you could have a new appointee to get in on. I'm sorry.
Her seat's not warm, not cold yet.
I'm okay.
No, I think that would be optimistic.
Yeah.
Get someone in a month.
2 months. You won't start next month. Oh, we will start. Oh, that's right. I won't be here. I'm sorry. That's what I was saying.
I know. Chair. No, you're going to get the chair again, because when you're not around, you can't.
We may be done with it by May. So it's never.
Yeah. We're talking April 2nd, correct?
Correct.
You are going to be here.
I plan to be here.
Okay. Actually, so Yeah, please, please do try hard.
We will be,
Right.
Desperate for a quorum at that point.
Yeah, I have some issues back home with my mom, and my brothers and sisters are keep texting me to come home. And so, you know, the last 2 weeks of March is the timeframe, so, you know, I do plan to come back.
If you could let me know as early as possible. We haven't advertised it yet, but I do need to advertise it in the next week or so. Is it possible to let me know what your plans are at that point?
Yeah, it would be if it was just me, but because I have a spouse.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her schedule to fit in, but I'll let you know definitely.
Okay.
If I go, you know, go back myself, then that's fine. She can follow later.
Hey, John, Carol, you could adjust your.
No. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, we could push it to me. I'd prefer to get the council going on it. Second meeting in April if possible. But it all depends. We need a quorum, otherwise
right.
It ain't gonna work. All right. Well, that's all I had. And I want to thank Commissioner Roth for all your contributions for the last year and a half. And I'm sorry to see you leave.
My pleasure.
Good luck with everything you've got going, and hope to see you again.
You will. Within your thank you all. It was fun and interesting, and I appreciate being able to serve the community I love so much, so this is good.
Well, you do know that we appreciate you, and you will be asked again and again.
Yes.
Okay, well, if my family situation changes, that, that'll be. Same thing. We all
right.
Have the same thing.
I know.
Right.
Yes. So, is there any new business?
None from staff. If anyone is interested, on the 15th of March, and I mean March this time, at the Rec Hall at 1:30, our hearing examiner will be doing holding a hearing for a shoreline substantial development permit for Ms. Lee.
Really?
And her problems have not gone away. She's just found a workaround. I think, given your experiences with quasi-judicial, except for Commissioner Warford, I think you'll find it very interesting if you have the time. We have a very good hearing examiner, there are complexities to the issues too. So.
So is she asking for a variance of the code as it's currently written, or is this a situation different than the fact that our shoreline management plan needs updating?
She has found a workaround within that. So
right,
her proposal was a single family home and a detached accessory building that was a detached garage with a second story ADU. And they're calling, and it's got the bottom floor of this accessory building has 300 feet of what was originally called residential storage area. They're now calling it an office, which requires two parking spaces, which oddly enough are exactly how many are in the garage. So they can call the bottom floor a commercial use, and the top floor is a single family home because it's the only residence on the site, but it's not at street level. But because it's a commercial use or a mixed use, it requires a shoreline substantial development permit that a single family home and appurtenant structures would be exempt from. So it's another hoop. but it gets her at least the original, the initial living space in Coopville on her property.
But if we are considering the amendments that need to be done next month, wouldn't that also take care of all of her issues?
It will, but I'm not convinced we're going to finish that in a month. I think it will take a few more. Again, we need to, I need to unpack that again and see where we left it, but the big issue was the mooring buoys, and the direction I got was to prohibit them, and...
Well, that does need to be revisited, for sure.
Yes, there's going to be substantial public comment on that, I think.
And I've gone 180 degrees from what I said on that, so, well, I mean, I did some reading and some research. Who knew?
I did.
Well, I know you did. Actually, Ricardo did.
So this is a Band-Aid fix, but it accomplishes her immediate needs.
Okay, and she still will be able to put the residential home in at some point, based on what we do if we are...
Depending on how the legislative process works its way out.
Okay. Interesting.
So...
March 15th.
March 15th, 1:30 at the rec, 1:30 at the rec hall.
Okay, any other announcements or pieces of information that need to be shared with the group? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jill, can you do it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Adjourned.